welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club. Today we have Alex.
Hey.
We have Lisa.
Hi.
We have Angus.
Hello.
Gypsy.
Hi.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin. So who's actually seen the show Blake 7? Blake 7, it's a classic sci-fi space opera from BBC. It was shown in four series about 1978 to 81. And it was created by Terry Nation, the creator of the Daleks, who introduced it to the BBC saying this was the Magnificent Seven in space.
Finally, a name that I've heard of, Terry Nation. Blake Seven, I've not heard a thing about.
I've heard about Blake Seven. The only thing I always thought was Blake Seven, not Blake's Seven, because mispronouncing is fun.
Yeah,
well, Blake's Seven. I was wondering that today, and I'm thinking, I wasn't sure what it was about, and I'm going, is it Blake's Seven is the name of something, or is it talking about the seven that belongs to Blake, as in like a possessive thing, or is it a contraction?
Are we not talking about the fact that it could be seven guys called Blake? That's legitimately what I got from that.
There's so many questions and not enough answers.
Well, you'll all find out today. So, has anybody actually seen it? And why are we watching it?
It's classic science fiction. Well, classic British science fiction. It was an influence on JMS. It was one of the things that influenced him to write B5.
Right, so, B5. Yeah.
Babylon 5.
This one we're watching later on.
Yeah.
Early next year, I think.
Is that Babylon 5 or Babylon's 5 with a contraction?
No, because there's five Babylon stations. The first he got destroyed, the fourth one disappeared, the fifth one's... Well, do we kill the law later?
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
So it was sort of influenced by Star Trek, I guess, Dirty Dozen, a lot of the dystopian stuff that was being shown on the BBC at the time. So there was a little-known series just prior to it called 1990, and that was dystopian Britain.
Oh, see, that sounds good. Why can't we watch that?
Next time.
Yeah, basically, what's the difference between dystopian Britain in 1990 and dystopian Britain in 2019?
I want to see how close it is to the real 1990.
It's a matter of time before we do end up watching something like Max Headroom, and then
bring it.
Coming soon, probably.
Is it on the list?
It must be on the list.
Okay, so there are a few famous people here: Gareth Thomas, Michael Keating, Sally Kinnett, Paul Darrow.
They're only famous because they're in Blake 7.
They're famous because they're in Blake 7.
Apart from Gareth Thomas, who was an actor.
All of these big names.
In the BBC.
Earlier this year.
Yes, Paul Darrow died a few months ago, which is why we thought we'd do Blake 7.
Who's the actor for Avon, was it?
Avon, that's right.
He was also in a couple of odd video games. There was a video game, I cannot remember what it was called, but he starred in that, and it was this kind of detective sort show where you had to figure out which character was lying out of multiple characters in this story. And I remember just looking through it and going, I recognise him.
This was described by people at the time, critics, as being classically awful. As in the sets were awful, the costumes were awful, the special effects were awful, but the acting and the writing were great.
Not all the acting was great. Some of the acting.
And not all the writing was great.
They were great.
Just promise me this. Are we going to get cheese tonight? I'm here ready for cheese.
You are going to get cheese. Yes. So the cheese is there, definitely. The ham acting is there. Mm-hmm. But it's good ham acting.
All I'm asking for tonight is a good ham and cheese sandwich. Let's make it happen.
Okay.
Toast intolerance.
Just the ham. Okay. Well, on we go. We'll watch Blake 7. And see what people think about it. We've got that on tape.
That's our intro and outro music.
That's our intro and outro music.
I wish that was our intro and outro music. That theme song is just...
So that was Blake 7. That was episode 13 of season 1. It was the final of the first season and blows up in the end. Everything seems to blow up in the end. But what did everybody think of the episode? So I'll ask Alex first because he's having trouble.
I think asking me first is not the best. No, it was cheesy. I think it was very much... It feels a lot like the rest of sci-fi at the time. Like, I've only really seen old episodes of Doctor Who, but otherwise it doesn't seem that much different to other sci-fi from the era. It's basically just some stuff happens, there's some bad guys and good guys, and there's spaceships, and that's it.
It's quite sums it up,
Amazingly enough, I watched a documentary about this a year or two ago, and people were talking about how they were hearing these noises from a field, like a couple of fields over where they were filming, and they sent some people to check it out, and they returned back going, oh, it's, they're filming Doctor Who in the next canyon, in the next quarry over.
Yes, it's all in quarries.
Yeah. It's like the same quarries as well.
Lisa, what did you think?
Oh, look, that theme music. Since that fanfare started up, you know what? You promised me ham, you promised me cheese.
Yeah.
I had the whole deli counter. It was incredible. It was fantastic. Oh my gosh, I know we're going to cover all this stuff, but that theme music with the fanfare and then the interstitial music that sounds like it comes from a carnival because it's got the kind of hurdy-gurdy Hammond organ music. Oh, yes. It was a little bit Phantom of the Opera. It was a little bit carnival music.
A bit Barry Morgan.
A little bit Barry Morgan. I loved it. Everyone's dressed like it's a sci-fi show, but they're all dressed like they've come from Robin Hood, you know? Medieval costumes.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah.
The whole show has a lot of riffs off Robin Hood too.
So
they're fighting the Federation, and, you know, they're trying to do good by the rest of the population.
And I think that whole Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, I think the bad guy's black costume looked a lot like Alan Rickman in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And
the Travis character was very dressed in black. And he did have that very Borg look, as you said, as well.
Yeah, with the mask.
With the cybernetic hand in the end.
Yes, all the crews of the Federation ships are all Borg. They're all cyborgs, so they're disposable. Or at least on Travis's. They're human, but they've got all Borg bits on them. They're all the disposables of the Federation.
With gas mask-like helmets.
Gas mask helmets. Oh, well, they're the guards. They're different.
Oh, so that was the character in the intro.
The intro is a guard.
It had a security camera looking from side to side because it's meant to be a very fascist sort of police state.
It's a police state on Earth.
Yeah.
Right.
So the first episode has Blake basically going about a normal life in his society when he realizes, or someone points out to him, that he's got the face of an old criminal that used to be about the place, some revolutionary mass murderer sort.
No, not a criminal, but a revolutionary.
Well, in their society, they projected him as this mass murdering criminal. And he finds out that he was a freedom fighter who had his memory wiped, and they were using him to basically bait out the rest of his associates. And so the final episode ends with Blake being sent to a prison planet as he's trying to investigate what's happened to him, and all his other freedom fighters on Earth get shot down. And one person who was siding with the Federation to help expose them but was doing so for a promotion winds up with the bodies because they just don't care. At all.
His lawyer gets killed.
Yeah.
I hope nobody wanted to watch that.
It's really dark.
It's very dystopian, and that first episode really pushes that, and the rest of it gets a bit lighter sillier. So it's more like this, or more like Doctor Who or Star Trek, where it's
Lost in Space. It ends up with them wearing carrot suits. In fact, the costumes get funnier and funnier over the period until they're wearing flower child stuff and all sorts of strange things. And this cast, it continues through to the end of season 2, and then after that, Gareth Thomas and
Andre the Giant.
He leaves before then.
He dies. And Sally Kivett, she leaves the series with Gareth Thomas at the end of season 2. So after that, Avon becomes the main character.
Mm-hmm.
They try and substitute in someone to replace Gareth Thomas as...
They bring in Blake's cousin.
And it just doesn't work. Avon completely hams out.
The first two series are really good, and after that it just...
I need to segue here because we need to play Trailblazer Bingo or whatever we're going to call this, because, you know, we always talk about how this show started it and all of the other shows copied. So we had a reference to Firefly, where I was aiming for his head. We have a reference to Sliders, where they decided to bring in the cousin or a parallel universe version of What was the other reference that you had before? There was another one we had.
The Borg one.
The Borg reference. There was something before that as well.
A reference made to The Adventures of Baron Munchausen or Terry Gilliam's work as well.
All
the animation.
The animation.
That intro felt very Terry Gilliam.
No, the actual animation that they did, like throughout the whole entire thing, is just cutouts on top of each other, basically. And then they painted up glass panes and then moved everything along, basically, right? And that was the whole entire style at the time that Gilliam was doing, along with a whole heap of other animators. Mm. It's incredible stuff, though. Like, really, really cool. Mm.
Gypsy, what did you think of the show?
I thought the animation was really, really cool. I thought it was really impressive. It was really cool to watch
But, of course, the special effects in this is renowned for being terrible.
The special effects is something different. No, I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was cool. They had Kuo-Towers, so that was cool.
Kuo-Towers.
It was just an awkward D&D party.
It actually has that aspect of it.
Had, like, the wizard, the rogue, the barbarian, the fighter, the cleric, and I'm not sure if she was, like, a sorcerer. She seemed useless, so...
Hey, the one in the blonde or the brunette.
She's meant to be
In various episodes, they all show their various talents, so... There wasn't much of a role, say, for Avon in that one.
Brunette was a healer, did you say, or a telepath? And what was the blonde's?
She was the pilot.
But she was dressed like a cleric. The telepath was dressed a lot like a cleric.
She's also a freedom fighter.
I reckon I've seen people out clubbing wearing the outfits that the blonde wore in the early 2000s. It's the whole with the boots and the belts.
I can't remember because at the beginning of the show, of course, they're all convicts, and I can't remember what all their crimes were.
Hers was to do with smuggling or
Because I know Avon's was computer fraud or something.
Gan just killed someone, and he'd been infected with an inhibitor to prevent him killing anybody else. So during the series, he can't actually kill anybody. He can hold them down, but at the moment he begins to injure them, he can't do any more.
Keeps it very PG rated.
It keeps it PG rated.
But that's also very dystopian, and I know the Cyberpunk 2020 tabletop RPG had a lot of those social inhibitors. And
I think it might be the inhibitor that is responsible for his death, because he can't actually save himself in some way.
Which isn't that a Futurama reference? I'm going back to
the episode where Leela gets the inhibitor.
And she ends up enjoying the pain that she gets from it going
in the D&D episode.
Yes, in the D&D episode.
I'm sorry. It's the best movie.
It's one of my favourites as well. Yeah.
So, Angus, you've seen this for a little while, haven't you?
I have grown up more or less with Blake Seven. I remember seeing the entirety of the first couple of episodes over and over again. And I usually get to about the fifth episode of season one where I'm going to go, I don't want to watch the rest of this. Because I think that's the episode with the small head in some jar or something, the planet of web or something like that. It gets really, really sci-fi, and before then it was very dystopian, very kind of 1984 sort-esque.
Yeah, it starts off
there. Yeah, it starts off very 1984, and then it just loses that as it goes hardcore science fantasy, pretty much. I switch off a bit.
Now, was the voice of the computer the same voice as the Daleks from Doctor Who? I know it's Terry Nation designed both, the voice sounds really... I kept looking at a lot of characters and hearing a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could be.
They all come from the same area of the BBC, I guess, maybe. Yeah. The same casting pool. Everyone's getting the devices out to look it up.
We don't know at this stage.
Same as the female in white. She looked really familiar. I recognise her from somewhere, but I can't put my fingers.
She did have other roles. She was quite a good actor. She also passed away at the beginning of this year.
She's very much the sassy, scheming witch of Blake Seven.
And we all note, I know we were all talking about it during the watching of the show, very last scene she's in, that outfit is still immaculate.
She's crawled through tunnels.
She's waded through water and she's...
Attacked by an amphibian.
And I was looking at her, I'm going...
I think that's her cybernetic enhancement. As I said, maybe Travis has been licking her boots on.
Hey, look, if we were to have a superpower and we could pick anything, it is to be able to wear white and not have any marks show up.
Telekinesis. I don't have to get out of bed and switch the light.
So, Jeanette, you've been watching this for a little while, being an ABC, BBC fan.
When I was a teenager, I was a big fan. Hence, you know, the book here that I bought when I was young, 1981.
So. Right,
the book version of the TV show, or is that a spin-off?
It's a book written about the TV show, so not very well written.
Galactic Freedom Fighters, it says.
Yes, I think it only covered the first couple of episodes. It's a bit disappointing.
That's selling it very well.
Yeah.
Well, I never reread it, and I don't really remember it all that well.
So. The TV show is great. You don't read the book.
But then it's like, oh, yeah, we really like it, but, yeah, no, a lot of the episodes weren't really well done, and, oh, no, the book's pretty bad. And it's like
the first two series I love. I won't watch it past this.
After that, Terry Nation actually did leave the series too, so everything sort of fell apart after the first two series.
It all sounds a little bit rats leaving a sinking ship after
season.
It really was. They had to force a contract with Gareth Thomas to come back for the final episode.
The so very final episode.
Wrap things up nicely. He dropped in basically at the drop of a hat and went, I'm here now, you guys abandoned me, and kills all his former friends. What is this? Everyone was so disappointed.
Everybody
about
had no idea what was going on.
It's just like,
what a twist!
Yeah.
They should have had the writer do that, because he did that basically at the end of season two.
They should have just had the writer turn up and kill him with a fountain pen.
He killed the show earlier on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a perfect example of like when you should get out of a TV show, right? When it's just gone for too long.
Yeah.
When the title like character kills his contract early. That's the
change.
But if you want to see Avon doing the full-on ego trip, watch into season three, somewhere like that. By the end of season three, he's completely ego-tripping, ham-acting. The costumes are ridiculous. The stories are terrible. It's fantastic.
I've never seen that far.
You get halfway through season one, did you say?
There's one episode in season one that I remember being bad. The rest of them were really, really quite good. I
noticed that they're actually all on YouTube, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they're actually all on YouTube, yeah. So I've been watching it for a while, of course. It was one of my favourite series, and I really love the characters. It's very character-driven, the whole show.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about the show, I think, is that you've got these great characters, and you can almost put them anywhere, and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They just work wherever they go, no matter how ludicrous the situation. The characters are brilliant, and I thought that was what made it. The stories were not bad. And
there were some good stories.
There were some good stories, and a lot of it was novel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the costumes and the special effects, not so good. We were used to other things, better things by then.
The cheese factor with the costumes and stuff. Like,
but the cheese factor makes up for it incredibly well.
They did try to have a continuing storyline, which I liked. So there is sort of linking themes, and that kind of gets thrown around after the end of season two. But up to through the first two series, you get this story. He is fighting the Federation. He's setting up, you know, rebel alliances and things. So there's this underlying story that links the first two series and a theme that running through it. Kind of after Blake goes, they didn't know what to do with that.
Because they didn't have the Freedom Fighter. What happened after that was Avon, of course, is very self-centered. He's only out for himself.
Seriously,
but
he was trying
to take over the ship.
Avon the Wizard?
Yes.
Okay, cool. He was the Scotty that was handling the teleporter machine,
computer.
He is a computer genius. He's supposed to be the second best in the universe.
Yes, the O'Brien, yes.
But in the end, he finds he can't outrun the Federation, and so he becomes effectively a resistance fighter himself, although unwillingly, because he's got no choice. They're after him, and he's got to fight them. So that's how they sort of got around the fact that there was no Freedom Fighter element in the show afterwards. Okay.
Do you watch any more?
Are people going to go away and watch any more of this after this? Or
I'm really intrigued just after hearing Angus talk about it. Like, that this whole dystopian society, Freedom Fighter stuff sounds really good. Like, I think if that was the whole show, I'd be totally up for that.
Watching the first three episodes is by far... I've rewatched those first three episodes time and time again, because that's where the world and the setting and all that is built and introduced, and it creates this very strong foundation for the entirety of the show. That they just... At times, they rely on, and other times, they just completely ignore. So it is a mixed basket.
Actually, through most of the shows, there's always that element of the Federation having their sticky hands in there.
Yeah,
so there are good ones, like the one of the drugs, the colony where they're all drug addicts.
Yes.
And it turns out it's the criminal sort of colony and it's run by these criminal gangs. But it turns out in the end it's actually the Federation running it.
Sure.
Quite a good, opposition. Quite a good episode. And, you know, there's some interesting political points being made in some of those stories. Yeah, I really like that whole, you know, freedom fighter fighting the dystopian sort of right-wing fascist government aspect of it, which is what got me hooked, I think, as a teenager.
After this, the fans kept on trying to remake bits of it. So they did an audio plays. I think early 90s they did a small audio series featuring the main actors. But then afterwards they did literally a remake of it in audio with different actors entirely, concentrating on that dystopian element.
And there was a 2005 short that I saw as well.
That was the end of season one, right? And they didn't expect to get a second season.
I don't know.
Because it looks like they were trying to go the way of Firefly.
Yes. I think they were trying to kill them all off. It was very strange and everybody got really upset about that. Yeah.
But then again, I also assume that that explosion was just part of the prediction still and therefore it wasn't actually what was happening. It's like, oh, okay, the prediction says it's going to explode, but it hasn't exploded yet.
No.
Yeah.
Although it implies they just exploded as their eyes widen at the very end. We're all going to die and then...
The Doctor Who cliffhanger ending.
It's the Doctor Who cliffhanger ending.
Very much like that Red Dwarf episode.
Yes.
Like you were comparing it to, where then they had to try and backpedal and work out how to explain it off the next episode, the first episode of the next season.
And then the camera explodes.
And the camera twice in Red Dwarf.
So it's end of season six when they have the explosion and then they try to explain it beginning of season
Because at the end of season eight, of course, Red Dwarf is being attacked by the acid. And the ship's falling apart and the time machine no longer works and Remy, you know, kicks Death in the balls and then runs off. And then for the season 10 at the final episode, they had a small riff off that as well, with Remy trying to go, it was like that time I had the genius plan that ended us all back at Red Dwarf and me being a hologram again and Kachansky being lost back like in the old days. And so that brilliant plan, how did that happen? Oh, that's right. And everyone just tells them to shut up and and they just completely ignore it. So it's,
apparently in 2005 there was a survey of the top British telefancy shows and Blake Seven was at number 4 behind Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Red Dwarf and Doctor Who. So
right behind there. I did get a feel era-wise. What era was this? What
70s,
year?
Late 70s.
Late 70s, yeah. And it really had a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy feel, which I think was 81.
Okay, so that was Blake 7, and I guess at least most of us enjoyed it, I think.
Everyone enjoyed it.
Someone may, in fact, watch it afterwards, so we'll find out. One of the features of this was its influence on other shows, and there were several shows that cited influence of Blake 7. One of those was Babylon 5, and that's what we'll be looking at...
Next year.
Next month is Halloween. Get ready for Adam's Family.
Brilliant.
Oscar.
Yes.
Okay, so Adam's Family for the next episode.
Perfect change in pace.
Total change in pace.
First comedy we've seen in a while.
Well-needed change in pace.
No, we had
that
last week.
Now I have the Blake 7 theme song and the Adam's Family theme song merged together.
Merging in your mind. Dun, 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 dun. How does it go again? Sorry? And that was Blake 7. Good night, everybody.
Bye!
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 Bye!